Yes, it's time. The Cutting Edge news program you put on your listening schedule for every Wednesday and Thursday. We're here. Mr. and Mrs. America, that's me, Lou Caverly.
And me, Elizabeth Cuppet Caverly.
This is indeed the Divided Kingdom. Go to our listening archives at DividedKingdomRadio.com. If you missed the last four programs, you don't want to not know what the warnings were we talked about. Go to DividedKingdomRadio.com. Now, we plunge right back into the illegal immigration and other plans to take down America. Elizabeth?
Yes, first up, Lou, is the Gateway Pundit. And they are really sounding an alarm here. David Grayson, February 7th. News Nation internal docs, and that's documents obtained by CBP sources, and that is the Border Patrol, the CBP. And these sources prove DHS aware illegals coming to U.S. through Darien Gap, not asylum seekers. Wow, you know, from that. Just that headline, it does sound like some betrayals there, doesn't it?
Oh, very much so. All over the place. Tons of betrayals.
And as you pointed out last night on our program, the populace of the U.S. was overly concerned with the government, and now it's the top issue for it is immigration, the illegals.
That's right, yes. And Biden, the last I heard, was finally going to visit the actual border.
And didn't you tell me that Kamala had never been there?
I don't think she's ever been to the actual border. She has been to Texas, but I don't think she's actually been to the boundary between the countries. No.
Well, you know, maybe Elon Musk ought to hook them up to the Neuralink and they could just sit there and watch it in virtual reality where they wouldn't have to go down and, you know, have all the blood and guts and the, you know, the inconvenience of travel to get there.
Yes, it's a long trip.
Oh, yes, and I think our leaders deserve so many perks. They just really deserve so much consideration. Well, back to this, it says exclusive internal documents obtained from CBP sources show that DHS is well aware that migrants coming to the U.S. through the Darien Gap are not asylum seekers, and they're repeating their title again, I see. The DHS documents posted to X show that asylum was not a factor in these illegals coming up to the southern border. The Darien Gap is a very dangerous path that many of the illegals have taken to continue their journey to the southern border of the U.S. This area is in Central America and connects North and South America. Many illegals who have taken the journey through the region have experienced terrible conditions and have been exploited by the smugglers who guide them through. Last June, Ben Burgakwam of Real America's Voice was in the Darien Gap showing how bad the conditions were. He showed the results of the Biden regime's open border policies and how this was incentivizing the dangerous trek. The invitation invited dangerous criminals, which posed a threat to our country, as well as to illegals that were on the journey as well. In September, Ben Burgakwam was still reporting from the Darien Gap and featured a story about a pregnant woman who was left to die in the horrific conditions of the jungle. And you know, this is really sad for these people, isn't it, Lou? We're
well,
interjecting
it is.
Here.
These government officials who claim they are so much for the illegal immigrants, you know, they're putting the illegal immigrants in an awful position.
They don't really care. It's the agenda, just like the Kissinger, I believe, called on the military men from the U.S. who would think they're going to bravely defend freedom all over the world, but they're just fodder to be used up in the war machine for these globalist ideals and, you know, agendas. So back here to the article, in December, Fox News reporter Bill Malugan asked the illegals lined up in Lukeville, Arizona, where they plan on going in the U.S. None of the illegals told Bill Malugan that they are seeking asylum. All want to work or link with family, and they expect release, Malugan said.
Now, from Natural News, absurd. Migrants allowed to travel without showing proper identification at U.S. airports. This was on February the 2nd this year by Ava Grace. Migrants are being allowed to travel without showing proper identification at U.S. airports, causing outrage among citizens traveling domestically who have to show their passports and go through the more rigorous boarding process. And here we have a quote.
Slow down. Halt. What? You mean there isn't one standard, Lou, for regular American citizens that's the same as for the illegals?
No, no. If you're an illegal, you get special privileges. Here's a quote to that effect. If you're a U.S. citizen and don't believe we live in a two-tiered society, try getting on an airplane to any U.S. airport without showing ID. Then watch an illegal board, no questions asked. And unquote. That's from noted independent journalist Leo Holman. And he goes on. Joe Biden's Transportation Security Administration, TSA, is working with Customs and Border Protection, CBP, to allow illegal aliens to fly without proper identification, unquote. One sign found at an airport in Miami claims that the TSA is working with the CBP to, quote, validate adult non-U.S. citizen travel documentation when the traveler does not otherwise have an acceptable form of identification, unquote. This process works for migrants who have entered the country using the CBP One app, which can serve as their travel document. Some 45,000 illegal immigrants are being allowed to enter the country through the CBP One app every month. Here's another quote. I'm an American citizen, and I'm quite offended that these migrants that have come in are getting preferential treatment and being prioritized in so many ways. That was said by retired CBP Chief Patrol Agent Chris Clem.
And that is Central Border Patrol, is it not?
Let me see now.
I was looking through the article myself to see what the C is.
Customs.
Customs, that's right.
Yeah, customs
it's
and
customs
border.
And border yep. patrol.
Yep. And this agent went on to say, a retired agent, Chris Clem, quote, the rest of us are paying the price at gas pumps and grocery stores. Taxes are going up. Yet America is continuing to bring masses of people in. The Biden mentality, or that is the Biden administration's mentality, and this is still in quotes, is to try and make it the most humane and pleasurable experience for these poor people under duress, because it is a tough ordeal to navigate an American airport, continued Clem. But if you've got to be kidding...
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
You know, Lou, this is Elizabeth again.
Yes.
We see an inconsistency. See, there in Darien Gap, they didn't care if those poor people from Central America are there, that pregnant woman dying there in the heat and in the jungle. They didn't really care. That's out of sight. But you see, at the airport, they have an opportunity for a photo op. They have an opportunity for propagandizing everybody that we can see that our own American men are always demeaned. We can see that we're being taught that we're not of worth. So, because we're the country they want to take down. We're the country in which the men have their guns, Mr. and Mrs. America. But Dianne Feinstein is gone. Her 5 minutes of fame are over when she said, give up your guns, Mr. and Mrs. America. No, they haven't given them up yet. But we can see that the globalists don't have one size fits all in their kinds of subterfuges. We have to kind of see. They want this to be seen here at the airports, how good and how kind they are, because they're making the rest of America angry. Perhaps they want to get this boiling so that they will get the Civil War started, so that they can get the chaos going. We always have to see what we think they have in store for us that lies ahead, don't we?
We sure do, yes. Yes, that's exactly right.
Well, let's pick up that story then. You were saying that regular Americans who are legal citizens don't have to do what?
The non-citizens don't have to show identification. The citizens do. the illegals just have some kind of an app that they can apparently get on the cell phone, and you wonder how all these illegal immigrants have cell phones.
Why, yes, you do.
But getting on with this, I'm going to read this again because it ties in with the remaining part of the quote. This is, again, from former Chief Patrol Agent Chris Klamm of the CBP. The Biden administration's mentality is to try and make it the most humane and pleasurable experience for these poor people under duress, because it is such a tough ordeal to navigate an American airport, continued Klamm. But you've got to be kidding me. Many of them just came from the Middle East, traversed 7 countries, used apps to get here, and we're supposed to believe Phoenix Airport might be all too much for them. Ridiculous. Unquote. Illegal immigrants and so-called asylum seekers who enter the country with the help of the CBP, one app, have to provide biometric information, including fingerprints, and be photographed by border officials when they are interviewed, trying to enter the country through checkpoints before they are admitted into the United States. But Klamm noted that authorities still only have basic information about the individuals that arrive at that point and question how authorities can be certain whether people are who they claim to be if they arrived at the border with no passport or any other proper identification. Klamm said, quote, "We're basing it all off what this person is telling us and a minimum system of information. Do we really know who they are? Did they use the app? Or did a smuggler do it all for them?"
Officials questioning security of letting illegals onto domestic flights. In a letter to Department of Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas, Senator Ted Cruz, Republican of Texas, is seeking more information about how thorough it really is for the TSA to screen migrants who want to board domestic flights using just the CBP One app. Quote, "While Americans must present an acceptable form of identification to fly, or at least have their identities confirmed, TSA is permitting illegal aliens without ID to opt for an alternate identity verification process utilizing the CBP One app," Cruz noted, adding that the process, quote, "takes illegal aliens at their word," end of quote, on the data they provide to the app and allows them to obtain Homeland Security documents to fly out of airports. In effect, TSA is applying one standard for verifying the identities of American citizens and another, weaker standard for verifying the identities of illegal aliens. This is alarming, the senator added.
Doug Thornton of American Invicta reported on the Jesuit Church in El Paso that was the center to aid illegal immigrants and their subsequent odyssey into the American heartland. And now we have this from Natural News, written by Ethan Huff, February 23rd. Texas Attorney General Paxton sues Catholic Annunciation House, NGO, for aiding, abetting illegal immigration. The border wars rage on as Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton takes aim at a Catholic non-governmental organization, NGO, called Annunciation House, that he says is encouraging and supporting illegal aliens as they invade the United States. In a new lawsuit, Paxton accuses Annunciation House of aiding and abetting illegal migrants by not only helping to create passageways for them to illegally enter the country through Texas, but also providing aid and housing for them in a special, quote, stash house, unquote. Established in the 1980s, Annunciation House describes itself as a volunteer organization that, quote, offers hospitality to migrants, immigrants, and refugees in El Paso, Texas, unquote. Paxton wants to see the group's registration to operate in the Lone Star State revoked. Quote, "Rooted in Catholic social teaching, the volunteers of Annunciation House live simply and in community, in the same houses as the guests we serve, who are mostly from Mexico and Central America," reads the website of Annunciation House. It continues, "We also participate in advocacy and education around immigration issues. We seek to be a voice for justice and compassion, especially on behalf of the most marginalized of our society," unquote. Now, this is Lou. Again, this article mentions the related matters told about earlier. Is the April 8th eclipse a bearer of judgment? You might have heard that last evening on our show.
Maybe you'll recap for a moment, Lou. That was a stunning article. It's supposed to happen in April, and we wondered about the judgment factor of it, because I believe, wasn't it going to be more pronounced at a part of the U.S. called Little Egypt, and we thought that might relate to God kind of giving us a message we would be in captivity, like the ancient Israelites in Egypt. But what can you tell the listeners who didn't hear it last night?
Yes, the eclipse that's coming up on April, I believe it's April the 8th, its path of totality, and always with a total eclipse, it's a narrow path. Hmm. Only a small part of the country or whatever part of the world it happens to be in can see it. But as the moon's shadow moves across the Earth and the Earth rotates under it, you have a narrow shadow where you can see the total eclipse. Well, if you take that pathway of totality, they call it, and you superimpose on a map the pathway of an earlier eclipse a few years ago, and I don't remember the year, the two paths intersect at that place, and I think it's in Illinois.
I think you're right.
Called Little Egypt. And, of course, where they intersect is just a narrow little, I guess, sort of a modified rectangle, maybe a parallelogram, something along those lines. But it's not very big. And it, of all places, happens to land right smack in this little region called Little Egypt. So that did seem rather amazing.
It does. And as listeners who've been with us a long time know, we do point out the moral implications of the news that we're presenting, and we always see that, in our opinion, God's judgment is hovering over America, particularly after the events of 9/11 in 2001, and the country never really repented. Instead, it brought in homosexual marriage being legalized. It brought in all of these awful things that came later, like the LGBTQ surgery, mutilations of little children, young children, at least young teens or preteens, and, of course, the abortion states that really didn't want to knuckle under to God's wonderful miracle of overturning Roe v. Wade. Some of these states still want to remain murder capitals, and I think one was Kansas. You wrote a powerful essay, Bleeding Kansas, and it is part of our book, and our new book, COVID and Coming Chaos, is out, and it was printed by Southwest Radio Church, and we're getting feedback. We haven't had anything negative yet. Mostly it is incredulous shock. You know, a pastor yesterday said to me, he's a pastor from Texas, he said it was a disturbing, interesting book. Yes, it should be disturbing to pastors, especially those pastors who advise their flock to go get the aborted fetal-derived COVID-19 vaccines. Those pastors really should be thinking a lot about things. So, you know, if you value this program, and we know that many of you do, and we do thank you again for your beautiful notes, your letters, and your kind donations. And we thank God Almighty that we did hear from the Pennsylvania doctor. So he is okay. And he sent a group of three sets of stamps, really interesting ones. I think the one was railway stations, but the one I liked most was the waterfalls. Really, really beautiful. And then there was one about a space probe. Do you remember what that was, Lou?
No, I'll have to look at the name on that.
There was some kind of a space probe going on. So
I think it's going to an asteroid, as I recall.
Oh, yes, I think you're right, because you looked at that. So at any rate, we thank all of you. And if you would like to help us, you can send a little cash. You can send a money order to Lou Caverly, P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, capital B-E-T-H-L-E-H-E-M, Maryland, 21609. you could send a check made out to either WWCR or to Global Star Communications. Or you can, as I said before, send some cash, send a money order. We do need some help because we reordered the books. We got 150 more books. And as you all know, we have not been charging for these first books. We have been sending them out to you listeners. And all you need to do to have one of these books, a complimentary copy, is just drop a note to Lou Caverly, P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. And, you know, we'll be happy to send the book if you can put a $5 bill in or if you want to make a larger donation. That is good. If you can't send any money, we will see that you still get the book. Now, we'll get back to this article, and let's take the frame of reference back. They were talking about this eclipse. Why?
Yes. Well, this was a little indentation. I guess you called it a parenthetical paragraph. It says related.
Parenthetical.
Related. Did you know that Eagle Pass, Texas, the location of the Texas showdown with the federal government over illegal immigration, is the first U.S. city that will see full totality in the upcoming April 8th eclipse, creating an X marks the spot right over, and I don't know if this is Cairo or Cairo, Illinois.
Oh, just read that sentence one more time to us, please.
I will. Did you know that Eagle Pass, Texas, the location of the Texas showdown with the federal government over illegal immigration, is the first U.S. city that will see full totality in the upcoming April 8th eclipse?
I have to ask something there. First of all, what is this showdown?
Oh, that's with the governor of Texas, Governor Abbott, putting up fencing, and Joe Biden's administration says you can't do that. But that's died out now. That
all
seems
right,
to have
but,
died
but,
way down.
But, all right, that's the showdown. Now, we can look for symbols in all of this happening. That's where this point of meeting is going to happen, the two, where
yes,
the eclipse from the past and the eclipse now. I think there's something there possibly that is a metaphor, that the culture and the religion that we have always known in America, which was Christian, deeply Christian, is being eclipsed. And it began in the past. It began to erode, especially in the Obama years, when the LGBTQ agenda got codified into these laws. And as Pastor Jonathan Kahn tells in one of his books, a lot of this happened on 10th of Tammuz. And that was an ancient kind of a calendar record, and it equates now to different dates that we have, but it was always consistent that the first dumping of the Defense of Marriage Act, I think possibly that was 2003 or 2004, that happened on the 10th of Tammuz, which by the ancient dating would be that. Then the next one, let's see, what would be the next one? Finally, I think it was the legalization of homosexuality in America was the next one. And then finally, we had the marriage of homosexuals. And every one of those happened on that 10th month of Tammuz. And we have to point out again, last night we mentioned that we cannot condone Jew hatred on this program, and we will not. And it was disturbing. When I heard that on the shortwave the other night, I heard something murmured about the person didn't like Jonathan Kahn too much, and some of our listeners have expressed they don't like him very much. And there doesn't seem to be a reason for this, except he is a Jew, and he was a rabbi, I think, but he is a messianic believer. He is a pastor. And I like to point out this. Out of all the clergymen in the United States, and we don't hear too much from Rick Warren anymore, I don't know whether he's still there or not, but there are other big ones. There's a big one in Texas, Jeffers, I think, Reverend Jeffers. All of these people, Franklin Graham, there wasn't one of them, Lou, who publicly called on Joe Biden to repent, was there?
Not that I know of.
But Pastor Kahn did. So be very careful that you're not losing your souls to a Jew hatred, to the people that God said he has an eternal covenant with, and they are the apple of his eye because he said it in his word. And yes, there may be these charlatans, these people who don't really have the Jewish blood from Abraham, these Khazarians, these Ashkenazi people, New World Order Jews. But so what? There are some Irish people in there, too. There are some Jesuits. There are some Freemasons. We don't know what all the secret societies actually involve and who all is included. So let's be a little bit careful when we think about everything. So anyway, Jonathan Kahn pointed out some of these things about this judgment coming on America. And in another one of his books, I think the newest book, the one I mentioned, I believe, came from The Return of the Gods. But his newest book, and I always get the part of the title wrong, The Josiah Chronicles or Manifesto?
I believe it's Manifesto.
Manifesto. In this one, he points out so clearly that he believes the thesis is that judgment came on America because of all the 60-plus million abortions that we did here. And he correlates the dates between the legalization of Roe v. Wade and all of that to the beginning dates of the COVID epidemic. And it really is remarkable. So, you know, we're saying there is truth in these patterns. And after all, it is God's heavens. It's his universe. He made it. And again, you know, these people who want to promote the Jew hatred, there are other things that are being promoted to just boggle people's minds. The flat earth theory. Somebody is pushing that out of one of those radio programs that you and I turned off because it had such vile anti-Holocaust stuff, and it would always promote Hitler as being a savior of the Germans, and you said this is bunk in history. We turned it off, and that person died, the person who had that program. But I think the program has been continued, so a listener sent us a little sheet of something else that happened to show part of what was offered by that program or somebody associated with it, an author, and there it was, the Flat Earth Theory. We've had some listeners try to fight with us about that, tell us it was true, but all you have to do is look in the Bible. It might be Ezekiel chapter 24 or Isaiah 24. I think it's Isaiah, isn't it? But it talks about the earth, you know, kind of, it's a round thing and it's spinning around. So God has the truth. We will never find something that can actually debunk his Bible. Even the stories about the earth being billions of years old and all of that, when Mount St. Helens erupted, our late friend and colleague, Carl Sanders, told us that, and we've seen this in other work too, other Christian videos, in a short time, everything had kind of fossilized again. So to the best of anyone's ability, we think that God told us the earth is about 6,000 to 7,000 years old. He created it, you know, in days, not in millions and billions of years. So we must take this stand as Christians that we're looking at this news from a standpoint of a believer in Jesus Christ and in God's Bible, and we do stick with the authorized King James Version because the newer versions have such omissions, and, you know, they even took the Holy Spirit out of a passage there, I think, the Helper. And we certainly are living in days in which we need the helper. So now, getting back to this situation here, we're saying that I said that it's like a metaphor there where this pinpoint where these two overlap. And think about Eagle's Pass. Eagle, the symbol for America. The eagle was a symbol for Hitler, too. And We had a hairdresser years ago, and she said she had visions. And she said one of the visions was that the eagle was shot, and it fell. And you see, there it is. That's America. America. So we're getting warnings again at Eagle Pass, I think, coming in April, for repentance. It's not too late for America to turn back. Well, Lou, what else in that article?
Well, this particular portion of it concludes by saying that that X, where the pathways of the old eclipse and the new one will meet, that X marks the spot right over, I think it's Cairo, Illinois. It's spelled like Cairo, Egypt, but I think it's Cairo, Illinois. Also known as Little Egypt, and ground zero for the new Madrid fault line.
Oh, wow. There's one more possible prediction of great danger, isn't it?
It sure is.
All right.
Now, I think maybe we go to you.
Yes, Elizabeth. We do, because we're still talking about this same thing about Annunciation House in this article. Countersues Paxton for violating its, quote, constitutional rights of association. Paxton's lawsuit claims that Annunciation House is, quote, openly and flagrantly violating many provisions of law in a systemic fashion, specifically by providing shelter to migrants as they trek across the hot Texas deserts. Quote, Annunciation House appears to be engaged in the operation of an illegal stash house by potentially allowing others to use its real estate to engage in human smuggling, Paxton's lawsuit states. Paxton's office requested records from the NGO to look for potential violations of federal law. But in response, Annunciation House countersued Paxton's office, seeking a restraining order. The group also accuses Paxton of making an impossible demand due to limited volunteer staff, not to mention that the request violates the, quote, constitutional rights of association, end of quote. In a statement, Paxton condemned the, quote, chaos at the southern border, end of quote, that he says is facilitating, quote, astonishing horrors, including human smuggling, end of quote. Quote, while the federal government perpetuates lawlessness, destroying this country, my office works day in and day out to hold these organizations responsible for worsening illegal immigration, end of quote, Paxton continued. In its own statement, Annunciation House said its functions are biblical in nature, adding that it, quote, does its work of accompaniment out of the gospel mandate to welcome the stranger. Oh, da-da-da-dum. We must have the violins.
Yes.
Oh, we must have a choir. Oh, yes. Yes, Satan is that angel of light that would deceive the very elect if it were possible. Well, what's next?
In 2023, a record 2.4 million migrant encounters occurred at the southern border. This past December set a new record for migrant encounters with more than 301,000. Recorded in that month alone. The Republican-led House of Representatives impeached Department of Homeland Security, that is DHS, Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas, over his handling of the migrant crisis. Articles of impeachment will now go to the Senate for a trial. And the latest news about illegal immigration in America can be found at invasionusa.news. Now, next we go to news from the situation in Texas. We're going to move up to Maine, up to the North Country. You say you can't believe Maine would be involved. Well, David DeShane, in his Fort Fairfield Journal, says illegal immigrants.
What's the date on this one, Lou?
And the date is
February 7th.
Let me see.
It's pretty new.
It was very late January, but I'm afraid the date got cut off. I don't see the date. But I know it was late January. The title, Illegal Immigrants Now Being Housed at Taxpayer Expense in Upscale Palatial Brunswick, Maine Apartment Complexes. Maine homeless citizens and veterans need not apply. Brunswick, Maine. Housing being built specifically for illegal immigrant asylum seekers, and that's in quotes, is now coming online at the former Brunswick Naval Air Station. The housing is intended only for illegal immigrants, not homeless Maine citizens or veterans. The free apartments are designed to house so-called asylum seekers as they wait to receive work permits, which can be a lengthy process since asylum seekers can't file for a permit until at least 6 months after filing their initial asylum applications. However, the illegal immigrants still have to appear in court to have their asylum requests adjudicated, a process that is now backed up by 6 or 7 years. Yes, you heard that right. Not months, years, due to President Biden's encouragement of the illegal immigrant incursion at the border. Former acting ICE director Tom Homan explained at a recent congressional hearing, quote, "The bottom line is, when you claim asylum, you must be escaping fear and persecution from your home government because of your race, religion, or political affiliation, or membership of a particular social group," unquote. Homan said historically asylum requests are denied 90% of the time because they don't fit the criteria established by law, and those people are sent back to their home country. He also points out that after being in country for 6 or 7 years, deporting unqualified asylum seekers may become a political hot topic because those immigrants at that point may have 1 or 2 U.S.-born children. The 60-unit project in Brunswick is being overseen by Developers Collaborative, and that's capitalized, so that's the name of the company, the Developers Collaborative, whose founder, Kevin Bunker, said that the Maine legislature has set aside funding to pay the rent in these buildings for 2 years. The plan is for the state to assist the illegal immigrants to obtain work permits, and after they get jobs, begin paying up to 30% of their income as rent. If they ended up with an income, they'd be, and this is in quotes, if they ended up with an income, they'd be expected to contribute 30% of the income toward their rent, Bunker told MainePublic.org. And he goes on to say, and then, much like a project-based voucher, this fund would make up the rest. However, the legislature has left a loophole in their plans. After 2 years, the units are expected to be converted to a mix of market rate and affordable housing unless the legislature says the program needs to be extended in order to allow for more funding of the free rent program in the event the immigrants do not get jobs. Furthermore, it is doubtful these units will ever be converted to market rate rents after 2 years of free rent living has taken place there. Currently, the Illegal Immigrant Free Rent Fund is hovering around $3.5 million of taxpayers' money and is administered by the Maine State Housing Authority. It is intended to house 60 immigrant families for a minimum of 2 years. The illegal immigrants who literally won this rent-free housing were selected by a lottery after hundreds of applications were received within hours of opening the waiting list. However, Maine homeless citizens and veterans are not targeted to receive this assistance. The Lewiston, Maine-based Immigration Resource Center of Maine has been contracted to provide support services to the illegal immigrants housed in these apartments. According to MainePublic.org, quote, Fatuma Hussein, the group's executive director, said that support involves everything from helping furnish the apartments to creating long-term stability plans to help each family get established based on their own goals, unquote. In other words, immigrants are not only enjoying free rent in these facilities, but also receiving free money to furnish them. But that's not where the public largesse ends. The state is also providing $100,000 to dozens of the illegal immigrants for a year's worth of asylum application and work authorization assistance. The, quote, royal treatment, unquote, continues with the United Way of Mid-Coast Maine, which is planning to launch a bus program to transport the migrants. WGME reports, quote, it could be running to the grocery store or doctor's appointments, Executive Director Nicole Evans said, according to WGME. We truly hope everyone in the community will raise their hands to help however they can, unquote. as if the illegal immigrants aren't already receiving enough free help. News Center Maine reports, quote, a woman named Esther from Nigeria is one of the asylum seekers already living in these units. She said the shift there from living in hotels and shelters has been life-changing, and that the apartment feels like a palace. In a hotel, there are rules and regulations, Esther said. In a shelter, too, we have so many people. We share the kitchen together. We share the restroom together, unquote. But not so with these brand-new luxury apartments provided rent-free, courtesy of the Maine taxpayer, who live in one of the poorest and most highly taxed states in the U.S. The Maine legislature, which is dominated by Democrats at this point, is coddling and courting the illegal immigrants as a new class of citizens in the state in order to swell the numbers of potential Democratic Party voters. Since the illegal immigrants come from third world hellholes and are accustomed to tyrannical authoritarian dictatorships and a nanny state exploiting and micromanaging every aspect of its citizens' lives, the political ideologies of the illegal immigrants will fit nicely with the Democratic Party, now and into the future. It doesn't matter that illegal immigrants are not eligible to vote. Once they receive a driver's license and can show residency in the state, they can easily register to vote and continue the destructive and bankrupting policies of the Democratic Party until there is no more money available to siphon off of the Maine taxpayer.
We thank Shar, listener Shar, for this very incisive article. And, you know, I think that we will move right on now to Lou's special report from our Northeast contributor, our valuable listener sleuth, who has been locating those covert hidden parts of Mara Healy's empire there with the National Guard, not Maine, but Massachusetts, the National Guard under Operation Task Force Shelter. But now, as Lou says, it's getting into the open. It's expanding to the point where they're not even secret anymore. But we are going to get this major report right now from Lou. And next week, we are going to complete a little bit more of this, and then we're going to get into the China connection. You really won't want to miss that. Are we in a pre-invasion scenario with China? Okay, Lou, take it away with Massachusetts.
Yes, now we'll move on to the impact of uncontrolled immigration on my old home state, Massachusetts. Our concerned listeners in the Commonwealth have kept us informed of the events there, especially in Boston. On earlier programs, we've covered the attempts by Massachusetts officials to deal with the steady influx of illegal immigrants.
Yes, and we do have two people from the Northeast who've been talking to us about these things. And this one man, we just salute him because he is the one really responsible for telling you all about Operation Task Force Shelter.
That's right. So we'll begin with an excerpt from a story entitled Family Shelter at Boston Terminal. Now, this appeared January 25th, not in the Boston paper, but it made it all the way to the New York Post. And here are a few excerpts. This was by Melissa Koenig. Dozens of migrant families have set up camp in Boston's International Airport as Massachusetts struggles to find shelter for the booming migrant population. Nearly 100 people, including many young children, have been sleeping on cots on the floor at Logan International Airport Terminal, in scenes eerily similar to those at Chicago's O'Hare Airport. The immigrants were huddled in hats and blankets as they lay next to piles of their belongings in footage taken by CBS Boston. The state governor, Mara Healy, is asking President Biden for an additional $250 million to address the crisis in Massachusetts. Although her office estimates the surge in migrants could cost the state $915 million next year. Now, that's mighty close to $1 billion, I'll add. Going on, the images of migrants sleeping at Logan International come just months after Massachusetts Port Authority interim CEO Ed Freeney warned that the airport is, quote, not an appropriate place, unquote, for migrants to stay, as 20 to 25 were arriving at Logan each day in November. The airport is often the first stop for migrants arriving from Haiti and Latin America, Franny explained to CBS News. And this is Lou speaking. I have yet to find out, how are these people getting the money to fly? I used to have a tough time as a student when I used to fly from Baltimore to Boston to see my parents at holidays. Where's the money coming from? I have yet to actually see that in writing.
Oh, maybe it's being sent from Annunciation House.
Yeah, maybe so. You might be right, Elizabeth. And concluding that article, some migrants are staying at local churches. Others are being housed in government conference rooms, according to public radio station WBUR. A record-setting 276,000 asylum seekers entered the U.S. from Mexico in December, capping a record-breaking year and forcing Biden to admit that, quote, massive changes, unquote, in U.S. immigration policy are necessary. Now we move to one of the two main Boston newspapers, the Boston Herald. We have several articles from there. Well, what are they going to do about all this? Here's a little update dated January 26th on the same topic about the Logan Airport. And by the way, that's the airport, of course, that is the international airport in Boston. I've flown out of it many times. Advocates and providers in Massachusetts are sounding the alarm after homeless migrants were found sleeping at Boston Logan Airport on a daily basis, including Wednesday night. Governor Mara Healey limited last year the number of families who can stay in state-run emergency shelters to 7,500, a move that triggered an unsuccessful lawsuit and backlash that people would find themselves sleeping outside in the cold or in unconventional places like an airport. Months later, the emergency assistance shelter system, which houses newly arrived migrant and local families, is still at capacity, and a waiting list is 604 families as of Wednesday, according to data maintained by the state's housing department. Joe Thielman, who heads up International Institute of New England, a resettlement agency that primarily serves Haitians, said given the influx of families, the pressure on the shelter system, and the lack of places for people to stay, seeing families at the airport, quote, is going to be the norm for some time, unquote. And a spokesperson for Massachusetts Port Authority, the quasi-public agency that runs Logan, said migrants are at the airport on a daily basis, but only a small number actually arrive at the airport by plane. This is Lou again. That, again, puzzled me. How are they getting there if they don't come by plane? I don't know. They don't address that question. A couple of other things in the article. Mass GOP chairwoman Amy Carnevale is blaming the Healey administration for the situation at Logan. Quote, the ongoing situation at Logan Airport is a clear reflection of the consequences stemming from the Healey administration's inaction on the migrant crisis, Carnevale said in a statement. She went on, several months ago, Republicans in the legislature warned that such a scenario would unfold, emphasizing the need for reforms to the right to shelter law. And I'll interject, that's a law that was passed way back long before these crises with the massive amounts of immigration. And originally it was just intended for homeless and other indigent people to make sure they had a roof over their head. And they, you know, were talking about small numbers of people then, easily managed by the state. I think that Mike Dukakis was governor at the time, because he ran unsuccessfully for president. Going on, let's see now. So the Republicans wanted to reform this law, and the Republican leader said it's evident that the 7,500 family cap is not being respected, leading to a continuous influx of migrant families seeking shelter in Massachusetts. All right, so what are they going to do about all this? Well, here's one solution that doesn't have people very happy in Boston. This appeared in the Boston Herald January 31st. It was by Gayla Cawley. Migrants relocate to Roxbury. Now, Roxbury is one of the poorest sections of Boston. It's predominantly African-American. And as is so often the case, they dump what they don't know what to do with and on the least able to handle it. So, it says, the state will begin to move migrant families, especially those sleeping overnight at Logan Airport, into a new overflow shelter at a Roxbury Recreation Center today, acting quickly on a decision that surprised the community. In a letter to elected officials, Governor Mara Healey said the, quote, temporary safety net site, unquote, at the state-owned Melnea ACAS Recreational Complex can hold up to 400 migrants or 100 families, and she promised to close the shelter, displacing the youth and senior programming that runs out of the recreation center by May 31st. Well, this we'll see if they actually do close that and give it back to the people that have been using it, youth, older adults, and so forth. And Governor Healey, or a spokesperson for Governor Healey, noted that the state is operating other safety net sites in Cambridge, Quincy, and Revere, and United Way also has those types of sites in Greater Boston and Central Massachusetts. Now, what do the residents think of this? Well, here's an article, Residents Blast Migrant Plan. Roxbury Rec Center to house homeless coming from Logan. This is also by Gayla Colley. This one was dated January 30th in the Boston Herald. Many Roxbury residents ripped the governor's plan to use a Roxbury Community Center as an overflow site for migrants, with one woman saying the state is treating the neighborhood like garbage. That's an exact quote, like garbage. Why us? Asked another in a community virtual forum last night, hosted by City Councilor Tanya Fernandez-Anderson. Rich communities won't get this, another participant said. It's disrespectful. Another one said, Roxbury is on fire. On fire. And this is a wake-up call, an older man said. Earlier, Boston Mayor Michelle...
Lou, we interject.
Yes.
Ordo ab chao.
Yes, that's right. That's right. The chaos is a friend to the politicians in many cases.
Exactly.
And earlier, Boston Mayor Michelle Wu criticized their state plan to use a Roxbury Community Center as an overflow site for migrants with emergency shelters at capacity, saying the decision to shift the burden to an underserved community seems, quote, painfully familiar, unquote. Governor Mara Healey's administration is eyeing the state-owned Melnea ACAS Recreation Complex as a temporary overflow site. Now, Mayor Wu, I'll just summarize this. Mayor Michelle Wu, being a good Democrat, I suppose, finally towed the line and said, okay, well, it has to be done, so we'll accept it. She didn't stand up for the citizens of Roxbury. And let's see now, summing up some of this, let's see, we have a quote by Fernandez Anderson, who represents the area, said the state committed to closing the temporary shelter by May 31st to allow for the pool and other facilities to reopen. Feedback from the community, however, indicated that the status of other programs remains unclear until then. Here we have a quote from former State Senator Diane Wilkerson. The fact that they can't tell us today that they have alternate sites for the programs they've displaced is just despicable to me. It's inexplicable. It should not be acceptable on any level. Unquote. Massachusetts' emergency shelter crisis, with roughly 600 families on the waiting list, is not a problem that was created by the state, Wu said, pointing to, quote, a broken federal system and an exponentially increased flow of people who are vulnerable, unquote.
And we would interject there, this is Elizabeth Camberley, that it is also due to the agenda of the One World Order, the globalists trying to bring in the global government, the government that the Pope says should be facilitated. Globalization should be facilitated. So we have Annunciation House. We have that Jesuit church in El Paso. They're trying to facilitate things. While we have a few patriots, like Ted Cruz and others, trying to stem the flow, trying to stop it. But we'll never get anywhere without Americans repenting and turning back to God and his laws, because judgment is hovering over us. We really believe that. Do you want to recap there? We've got about 4 minutes. Close out that look. I mean, it's a very telling look at all those people lying there on the floor in a Logan Airport.
Oh, yes. If we had a TV program, we could show you those photographs. And Mayor Wu, now this, again, was on January 30th, so we're talking close to a month ago. Mayor Wu said she will be in Washington, D.C. on Tuesday, where she will echo the governor's petition for further resources from the federal government to deal with the migrant crisis. Well, you know what? Here it is, about a month later. I don't think they got a penny from Joe Biden's administration, nor did the mayor of New York City, Eric Adams, to the best of my knowledge, where they have had similar problems and similar protests about kicking the regular people out of various recreation centers, even some schools. And we'll get to, we'll probably get to a couple of very good articles about the use of hotels and motels.
I'll get into it a little bit quickly. Let's summarize it quickly.
Mm-hmm. Several hotels and motels in the greater Boston area, not all in the city, by the way, some in the suburbs, have been turned into migrant shelters.
And we had heard some of that before from our Northeast contact.
Yeah, we'd heard about them basically kicking out or not allowing people who wanted to see the Army-Navy game, which happened to be in Boston this year.
And so is it still going on?
So, yes, it's still going on. In fact,
name a couple quickly if you see a couple.
Yeah, there's, there's the Hilton Suites, Home Suites by Hilton, and that is in, the greater Boston area. I don't have the exact city. We'll cover that in a future.
And what else? Again, name a few more there.
Another
hotel?
In fact, Howie Carr, who's a columnist, says, "Welcome to Hotel Massachusetts." And he talks about Marlboro, which is a pretty nice suburb of Boston. They closed the Holiday Inn there, and they just put up a sign, "Hotel closed to the public," because it's become for the migrants.
I think that's a way to end the program with this view of the new dystopian America. Is this what you want for your children and your grandchildren? I think not. Tell others to visit DividedKingdomRadio.com. Good night.